Hello and welcome to Through the Turnstiles as we take an in-depth look in the lower leagues of Scottish football. Joined as always by Maz and James, how are you both?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I'm all right.
I'd like to say in the Championship edition, which we filmed this week. So this week we're back to the usual formula of three videos, one per league, Championship, League One, League Two. At the start of the Championship video, Maz said he was on the edge, so I don't know if we've managed to bring him back from the edge, James, or push him over. Yeah, to be determined in this video, Maz.
Mah, he'd scrambled after the last one, so who knows for Muzzers.
I found a new lease of life a wee bit talking about the Championship and getting excited about the massive fixtures on Saturday. So I'm I'm looking over the edge, but I'm from a distance. Back.
So this week, be sure to check out, as well as this episode, the Championship and League Two editions. Even if you don't support teams in either division, they're getting to good, interesting stages in both, and it's well worth a watch. More bite-sized episodes this week, I think no more than half an hour, either of them. If you want one that stirs up a wee bit more controversy, we picked our Scotland squad last week. You can get that on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that good stuff. As always, if you're watching this episode on YouTube, if you could do us a massive favour and like the video, subscribe to the channel, that would help us massively. James, I gave you a tight in the last video for your Ryan Jack shout, so I'm not going to dwell on it in this one. However, Lee Griffiths...
You did go right over my scrambled egg joke, so that's fine. I got no recognition for that.
Egghead.
That is good patter from me. I will say, though, I was planning for contingencies such as people being injured and more than just being able to pass the ball sideways. So Ryan Jack obviously has tried to pass it laterally, got himself injured and has now had to drop out of football moving forward. So my squad is obviously without him with that foresight.
For those of you
be no apology.
Didn't see the Championship episode. James didn't have Ryan Jack in the Scotland squad, so I've then called him Mystic Egg, knowing that he'd Ryan Jack would get injured, hence a scrambled egg joke. I'm with you. Well, the other one that stirred up a wee mini bit of controversy and not spending too much time on it is Lee Griffiths still seems to be splitting people down the middle. Not sure again last night.
It could be at the right time he starts to throw himself into
John
the ring.
John Kennedy's bigging him up a wee bit anyway, so.
Yeah, I think he's still got so much in the bank with Scotland fans that a lot of people I think would be willing to take a punt on him.
I'm
still backing it.
You're still backing it?
Oh, aye.
Fair enough. So before we get into this League One edition... what was that man non-committal as to whether I was backing it there?
You're still backing it, as if to say who's Muzz to back Lee Griffiths. So I back Muzz to back Lee Griffiths. I'm with you.
I'm backing you, back and Muzz back Lee Griffiths.
And I didn't really back up what I said as well. I just sort of went, "Oh, I," and didn't really.
So,
well, can we talk about football? Because this is
probably a
shambles already.
Probably the most exciting league in world football, League One. But
yeah. Super League, you could say.
But, well, before we get into it, Muzz, journeyman, I believe we're on a trifecta for the same team and period of time, is that right?
Sort of, aye. It's a continuation from the Championship one, which was a continuation from a few weeks ago when the Shinney brothers were spotted in Asda. An unholy amount of apples. Another Inverness Caledonian official chipped in and said around about that time he met Billy Mackay, junior and senior, in Love to Love.
Just to clarify, the player was junior and his father was senior. He wasn't there with his son. He was the son.
He was the son, but he was there with his dad.
Yeah, but he was junior, not senior.
Yes. And following that up, another Inverness Cali Thistle fan chips back in, saying, aye, he used to drink in the auctioneers quite often. Billy Jr., I mean. Sometimes by himself. He's added. So I'll save the last link to that to the League Two episode. Surely that's gonna be enough to hook in the League One fans.
Are we sure this is three episode. Different people so far? It's not just some anorak with three different accounts just following
now,
obscure Inverness players around.
The guy who's come back in and said Billy Mackay Jr. drinks in the auctioneers on his own was the guy who originally spotted the Shinny in Asda. So these are two Inverness residents.
Just hijacking the thread, essentially.
Well, not exactly hijacking it, but
yeah, spinning yarns.
Aye, aye. That's and we are show. Running out, as you can probably tell. So,
to be fair, it beats the air contingent.
Please
try to talk about what the weird nightclub's called these days.
Please do drop us journeyman spots on Twitter or the comments, because like Matt says, the well is running potentially dry. So, like I say, most exciting league in Scottish world football, League One. Muzz, you're the League One expert, aren't you?
I don't even know what's going on, so I'm going to sit back and just listen to
Muzz. I am going to learn. Muzz, just what's happening.
I don't know where to start all along. It's a mad league. We're talking about teams like Ayr, who, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago were 6 points off the bottom place. They're now 4 points off top. Talking in like Kirk, who have just been removed from top spot, the manager and assistant manager co-management team 12 days ago were awarded manager of the month.
Ridiculous. What do you think of that decision?
Now they've been sacked.
What do you think of that, without like getting into too much detail? Tricky for them since the set in lockdown, wasn't it? Like the form's kind of fell off a cliff. It's kind of fell off a cliff. But like you say, they're still joint two off top.
I think it's a bit of a farce. It's a bit of a, I think they've crumbled to fan pressure a wee bit. I think you know it's silly. It's you can't even compare it to the Hearts situation, because Hearts are such a big fish in a smaller pond, and they were so many points clear, and the league's been tied up. Still, people want Nielsen out. The Falkirk situation is slightly different, where there's another full team in Partick Thistle around them. They've got a well back Cove Rangers, a good Airdrie squad. It's a bit more competitive. To sack the management now, I don't get it.
We spoke about this before about just, you said it's different for the Hearts situation, but it's that entitlement that seems to come at Falkirk. We spoke about the same entitlement at Partick Thistle, and you see, like, I saw fans on Twitter straight away being like, good, delighted to get rid of them, over-reliance on Callum Morrison, spineless in midfield and things. And having had a Falkirk midfielder on saying, actually, they love playing with Callum Morrison and it gets them out of holes in that, then the players love him. Like, the system of football maybe is reliant on him, but they're saying they didn't do it all the time. So the players know what they're doing. And it's not like the players aren't going onto the pitch and playing well. Like, the football's working. If they are relying on Morrison, then they're sitting all right in the table. Like you say, they're not far off the top, 2 points off the top. So it's the entitlement. It's like, well, we should be top because we're Falkirk.
You wonder if they've offered one of them the chance to maybe they could or should have done that. I don't know. I'm just speculating here. Maybe they could have gone to one of them and said, look, why don't you be the manager, and said to them, look, you be the assistant. If maybe that was a co-management issue that was causing confusion.
I also don't feel that when Gary Holt got the director of football, that they've been like just simmering him away in the background, ready for the first thing that happens when he can take over. Like, I don't feel like
he was brought in to undermine them.
I thought he was brought in as a helping hand. So it's not been one of those situations where it's like director of football who's actually just manager and waiting. Right, you've lost the game against Peterhead. You've come off top. See you later. Now we've got Gary Holt, who's going to come and save the day. Like, there must be something extra going on for me.
And I agree with you, James. I've seen them a few times this season. They've not been miles off it, but I think, like, people forget how competitive this league is. And
I think it was the start, wasn't it? In Peterhead, they didn't have a shot on target on Tuesday. They didn't have one shot on target.
I think that's, by all accounts, that has been a pretty unacceptable performance, and given that, you know, as well, that Peterhead, now that they were confirmed that they're going to be out of the playoffs off the back of a game on Thursday night as well, Falkirk would have been, that was a game they should have really been winning. But
if that performance had happened earlier in the season, they wouldn't have gone.
Is
that performance probably coupled with
coming back in, did they not have an 8-point lead? Has there not been a 10-point swing? Because I'm sure they were 8 ahead of Partick, weren't they, or Cove, and now they're 2 behind. So I'm sure there's been a 10-point swing, or that's a 9-point swing, something like that. It doesn't get any easier for them, does it? They're at home at Cove. First game after the spot.
We were fresh off the back of beating them. I was a wee bit surprised that close result. I thought they'd have gone to Montrose and given them, you know, Montrose slightly slipped off the boil a wee bit. I'm saying that, but two wins out of the last five, two draws. But I think with Cove, I mean, I would have been getting a message out onto the pitch that Falkirk were drawn, not to mention getting beaten. But see, going to Montrose, when Montrose are fighting for their playoff place as well, it's kind of like the last place in the league you want to go when Montrose are up for it. So, very, you know, it's nothing surprises me in league anymore. But I don't know what impact Holt's going to have. I don't know if it's a gamble by Falkirk.
Getting rid of the goalie coach was a weird one as well, because they're going to have to go and get a goalie coach for Saturday.
Are they going to get a bounce and kick? You know, he's still got the same players to deal with.
He's good minus players. Lee Miller up top.
Is he still registered as a player, eh?
The impact player, eh?
Do you feel a wee bit sorry talking about that kind of split? I personally do, for East Fife, you know, over the course of all those games, 18 games, it comes down to three goals. They were minus two goal difference, I think, and Montrose were plus one.
It's the first half of their season that's killed them.
It's killed them, aye.
First half of the season. And not to mention their away form as well. Their away form's not good. At home, they're like a different animal. I was at the Peterhead East Fife game, and they were aided by Peterhead.
It's a bit spicy, that. Yeah, there's a couple of reds.
Aye, they were definitely aided by the red card from Peterhead, because Peterhead were deservedly took the lead. And I thought East Fife were going to score, but I think the 10 men, been playing against 10 men, has allowed the way they play. They're a bit like Wraith in that they commit a lot of players forward, and those players are quite fluid and they can drop in each position. It's kind of like they went 4-2-3-1, but it was more like a 4-3-3, because Swanson, the one behind the striker, would drop into the midfield, and the two wide players, Wallace and Denham, would come in, and it would kind of be a 4-3-3 in possession, and then against the ball they can resort to 4-1-4-1. But even the likes of, if like Wallace goes inside, you can find guys like even Ross Davidson coming out to the left just to cover. Or if Agnew goes,
you're a big fan of them against the ball, aren't you, as well? The press, you were talking about that night, actually.
Yeah, the press and the work rate is unbelievable off the ball. They don't really let teams breathe. And their defence is quite one-dimensional, but it's rigid and it's...
Their season's almost over, isn't it?
Craig Watson in the air just laps up everything. Higgins as well. So.
They're not going to get ninth. I think mathematically almost they can't go down. So they're probably the one team in the league that have got kind of got enough. Whoever finished sixth, I think I said it to you boys. I don't think it was on video. I think it was on kind of on the group chat or whatever. I said, whoever out of Montrose, Airdrie and East Fife gets that sixth, they're going to be too far ahead of the bottom pack to really have an interest in the remainder of the season. It's going to be tricky motivating those players.
I'm hijacking James again. Especially with the fixtures, they're just off the back of the intensity of that. Some of them playing four games a week on the Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Like you say, they're going to be looking now and saying, nothing to play for. It's been an intense few weeks, game after game after game. Don't know. We'll see.
James, I think all they can really look forward to is this sort of, I was going to say weekend off, but that's not right. Like, this night off, when their week's not in, they'll just spin wheels until the end of the season. I think they've justified almost the calling of them being the nearly men, because they've got players who were nearly class, and they've got nearly into the playoffs, and they're just getting a wee bit closer. So it's difficult, but if you're in the management or you're in the board, are you looking at, well, what players are you going to keep that are going to definitely like kick you on a wee bit next season and just start moulding those players together? Or do you just start playing players who are playing for contracts? Like, it's a difficult one to manage, but...
I think at this stage, it's just whoever feels they've got 90 minutes in them or 45 minutes.
Yeah, I suppose there's that as well. And you've got to... from like an outsider's point of view as well, you've got to look at the integrity of the rest of the games played, because if they just down tools,
by no means are they saying they're down
tools. Good enough to pick a team of unmotivated players apart and just rifle up the goal difference, because they've got to worry as well, to be fair, about not getting sucked too far down the table financially as well. So
yeah,
there's work to be done certainly in the next couple of weeks in terms of getting the players up for it and not giving away easy losses and easy goals. So they're professionals, right enough, but at the same time, they're
just
that dressing room will be annoyed. And how can you stop them looking back and going, oh, if I'd put that chance away, or if we'd actually I hadn't been sent off and we'd beaten that team like that? You've got to just stop that sort of thinking, and treat it as a mini season, mini pre season leading up to your actual big pre season.
Justin, just sticking in the top half, James, I was looking at the obviously Montrose are the team this week that have got the break. So I was thinking, you know, that'll benefit them because obviously they've played Scottish Cup, haven't they? They've a lot of games, they're now getting a wee break. But it then means they've got to play four games in the next 7 days. So I don't know where you want your break to fall. You probably don't want to be the team who's inactive in the last game in case you need a point or whatever. But I don't know if maybe you want like the Tuesday off, so you've got, or the Thursday off, so you're ready for the last Saturday. I don't know. There's pros and cons.
For me, it's this game. It's the Montrose system. Purely, I think, and almost to get away from football a wee bit, I'm saying you just need to do like a psychological reset. Like every game's a cup final now, so you need to come in. I don't know how hard you get them in for training. If you get them in for training, you come in and you just get them ready for four cup finals basically coming forward, and you have to get them ready for hitting the ground running in that first game. For me, you almost need to have your teams picked, and you need to just have those players sort your rotation out just now, get the players used to that sort of who's going to be playing and when, get them working out all sorts of permutations for, right, it's last game of the season and we're 10 minutes left and we need to go out a win, who's going to come on and play. And for me, you work that stuff out now and then you hit the next four games and just batter through it. Because you don't want to be trying to jumble yourselves up after a game where you've got three to go and your life just ends up a riot. So for me, it's just reset. We're into the end part of the season.
I think Airdrie have got it perfect, Muzz. I don't know what you think, because Airdrie, obviously, they play Saturday, Tuesday. They've then got the Thursday off to kind of get themselves set for the Saturday. Like, I know the last game's the following Tuesday, but their break's almost, they play two games, they rest, they then play another two games. But like I said, James, there's pros and cons. Will it make a difference even, Jink?
It's quite balanced that, Saturday, Tuesday. At least it's an even break. But I think because it's essentially four games in 2 weeks, I don't think it matters too much.
Who is it?
I think,
is it Cove that don't play the last games in? Aye, because Airdrie play.
Aye.
Airdrie play Falkirk at home.
If I'm Partick and Airdrie, I want to be playing straight away again this Saturday, because you're the two form teams
the
league. You want the momentum. And if I'm one team that
Gary
wants
Holmes
to be sitting this... If I'm one team that wants to be sitting this weekend out, it's Falkirk, so I can spend another few days on the training pitch with the new manager or the new caretaker manager. But I think you're talking fine margins now. They've been playing 3-4 games a week now for 2-3 weeks. They're going to have to go again for the next 2 weeks. I don't think the combination.
I think that's why you would want the break, to maybe give yourself a rest just now. But I was thinking you're right, Muzz, as well, that if you're part of Thistle and you're the form team, you could just go in and start playing now and just be the pace setters. So just basically suck it up until it's your break and just like, we're just going to set a relentless pace. We're just going to keep picking up points. And from now on, it's up for everyone else to match us. And
what
the difficulty is, after this first game, like, your form could just, ours could just fall out for top and bottom of the table, to be fair. You need to do really well in this first game. And I'm hoping that no one goes in and just goes, right, well, it's Partick Thistle first, so if we get a draw, maybe we'll just be able to squeak by and then pick up our points. I want to see Blood and Thunder teams going for it.
I think it's got to be in. Surely, Muzz, what are teams doing? Obviously, they're not training, so is it literally, do you think, they come in on the Tuesday, it's a quick bit of opposition analysis, and this is our starting 11, this is where we've got to try and hit them, this is a threat, go and play. Because it's then the following Thursday. So there's no time to work on these things in the training ground. There is maybe for the full-time teams.
I think the managers are just I think they're resting players, and yeah, I think they're dealing with two different groups. They're resting players as and when, they're assessing players, they're keeping players on the fringes on their toes and stuff like that. They must be just be plate spinning right now, like you say, and there's maybe little time for actual time spent on the training ground working on. They'll maybe do key things like set pieces, like you say, opposition analysis, things like that. But yeah, time must be of the essence, especially for the part-time teams.
This would be the one benefit for East Fife potentially, is they can now, like Jim says, they can turn half an eye in next season, maybe who they want to bring in, who they want to keep. But for the likes of Ian Murray, Ian McCall, especially, let's say, the part-time boy, Stuart Petrie, although they've just signed Craig Brown, haven't they? But how are they getting a time to even think about next season? It's got to just be 110% on this season, doesn't it? So like we said, the games then, Partick host Airdrie, which the two form teams meet in, and Falkirk against Cove. How do you see them going, James, just in a word, before we move on to the bottom half? So Falkirk-Cove?
I've just said I don't want to see a draw, but I think this could be. But I'm hoping if it is, it'll be a score draw. So score draw is what my heart's hoping for.
I think Cove still got too much for him. I'm going Cove, Muzz.
Draw for me.
And well, I've got your Partick, Airdrie.
I'm going Airdrie. It's just the way the league is. That's what I'm going for in a word, Airdrie.
James.
Partick.
I'm going draw. I can't split them. The two of them are flying. The two of them are absolutely flying just now.
So for not wanting any draws, I've got a draw and a Partick and was draw Airdrie and you draw as well.
So we're
all back and there'll be a draw somewhere in the fixtures.
I just can't split them just now. And I think, although Ian Murray will be going for a win, he'd maybe take a point right now, just given the form at Partick. Like previously in the season, we spoke about Airdrie going to Partick and potentially, I think I backed them to go there and win. But I think, I'd say, given their form, given the stage of the season, and it puts another point between Airdrie and Montrose, that takes it to 3 points then. And he'd probably, with a superior goal difference, I'd imagine he'd maybe take a point there. So,
Who am I to sit and say I want Blood and Thunder and teams to go out for a win when my arse is on no line?
Aye.
Like, if Airdrie go out and play for a point, then that's a good point for them to get. And Ian Murray's safe if he doesn't, like... Do you know what I mean? Whereas if he goes and plays for a win and gets a 6-0 scud in, is he next for the chop? So,
Muzz, a team that you like, and although that said, there's a few in this league, but you've previously said on the show that you feel Forfar are in maybe a false position and Dumbarton in a false position, but they're the kind of bottom two just now, and Forfar look potentially away, don't they? 8 points.
I haven't seen Forfar in the flesh a good few times the last few weeks. I'd retract my original position.
Because they got Tony Docherty from Aberdeen, didn't they? He's in there as assistant now.
Yeah. I think their tails will be up from the cup performance against Dundee United. But,
well, I thought that, and then they've came out and took a shoeing, haven't they, off Clyde midweek?
Yeah. League form has been really poor.
Injury. They've had a lot of injuries, don't they? You know the ins and outs are 11 better than me, but I think Andy Munro's not been playing. Has he maybe had a knock? And
well, he's been cut. He mixed with a cup tied, and there might have been a knock or a suspension.
He was on the bench against Clyde.
He was cup tied against Edinburgh City, and Dundee United. But he's massive for them. But it's been a very inconsistent defence they've played. There was Jordan Allen, who to me is their most dangerous player. There was a substitution that was made against, I'm trying to remember who it was, a game I was at. Well, against East Fife, it was a draw at the time, and Jordan Allen has scored, and he looked the most likely to score, and he was taken off. It was almost like, I don't know if they were resting him for the cup game against Dundee United, but it seemed a strange decision. Given that the league, staying in the league, has got to be the priority. Mm-hmm. And then he was benched for the following game. So there's there's some inconsistent decisions across that team, and the manager leaving quite suddenly at a crucial time as well. I didn't see that coming, him going at all.
Yeah, because the board statement sounds like he jumped. He wasn't pushed, was he?
Aye, I thought, but the way he was talking in interviews, and I thought he was ready for you know, that the campaign that was coming, the sort of end of the season campaign, if you will. So, aye, they've struggled a bit. They're always up for the fight. They're always going to give 100%, but I just think they're a bit rudderless at the moment, and I think they're gone. Like,
they've got the joy of the Saturday off, James, where if Clyde and Dumbarton win, they're almost, when by the time they come back, they're almost pretty much down. They could, in theory, be 11 behind with 12 to play for.
They're a team that you always hope are doing okay, but they're also realistic with a team that are destined to be in that part of the world. I think two-thirds of the season they've been rock bottom, so they've maybe climbed to the heady heights of mid-table on day one purely by sort of alphabetical order, and then after that it's been a slow decline. I don't think they've been higher than their name let them, which I think was about fourth or fifth or something, and then game week two they were a wee bit slightly further down, game week three slightly down, and then from basically week four or five onwards, apart from one wee blip, they've been rock bottom. So you can't, much as you might have a wee affinity, or you might think, oh, Forfar are not a bad wee team and they've got some decent wee players and we all quite like Stephen Doris and we all quite like Monroe and that, then they're just rock bottom. So it is hard when you look at things like that to justify, yeah, actually they should be higher than they are. So for me, it doesn't really matter how many games they've got and how many points they are to pick up. They're not doing it. They're away.
Who do you see finishing ninth, Mads? Because obviously Dumbarton are 19 points just now. Clyde one ahead on 20, and then I think Peterhead are on 23. East Fife 27. I think we'll agree we can't see East Fife getting sucked into that. So how do you see that with 4 points separating Dumbarton, Clyde and Peterhead? And I don't know about you, Mads, but I quite like this split.
Yeah, I know. I was going to get to that. I wonder if, what do you think the potential is of this being kept, this format, going forward?
I think we might.
I'd love it to stay, but not in the... Or to be fair, I would love it to stay with the thick and fast fixtures, but I think for the sake of the players, keep the keep the split, but not the...
It's going to be interesting, though, because on the last day of the season, of the league season, Airdrie play Falkirk. I think it's on the Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Now, say Airdrie finished third and Falkirk are second. Like 4 days later, they then play each other twice more in the playoffs. So that's the only kind of negative I can see, is that teams will be sick of the side each other. It could happen again in League Two, because obviously Stirling and Albion played Edinburgh City before the split. So they played them on Tuesday, they played them again on Saturday, and they could play them twice more in the playoffs. So they could actually play them four times in the space of 2 weeks. For me, that's only slight negative.
Yeah.
I think as well, you what's quite good about the Premiership split is that every team plays on the last day.
Aye, it's an even number, isn't it?
Like on the last, well, 10 would be an even, but it's the 6 and 6 split. It's the one that's going to do it for you.
No, sorry, aye, it's an even number of teams in each half, yeah.
Aye, after, yeah, so there's not a team sitting on the last day, well, like letting
fingers crossed, the
gods sort of roll their dice and say good luck to you, and you've done what you can, just need to sit and watch the world's slowest live score app update itself. So,
well, I'm sure as we speak, Brechin are lodging something to get a few more teams come up so we can go 12, 12, 12, 12.
Aye, and
we'll complete this one. We'll come into them in the next episode. Sorry, Maz, to interrupt you. Ninth.
Not at all. Well, I'm finding it difficult to call because my instinct was it was going to be Dumbarton, but they've only scored 9 goals this season. Clyde has scored 22.
Seriously, but, nine goals.
Aye, so they're on 19 points. They're a point behind Clyde. So, I don't know.
But with a comparable goal difference,
they've only conceded 18. To be fair, though.
Yeah. So that's it.
There's one goal conceded 32. I think it's going to be Clyde in ninth place. Clyde Dumbarton on the second last day is going to be massive, because I think Peterhead will pick up enough points, East Fife as well. East Fife have got Dumbarton on Saturday.
I'm going to get you a prediction for that.
Yeah, I think East Fife will beat them.
But I think Clyde will... Do you think they'll do it? Given the after the disappointment, East Fife saw it, you think they'll get back on the horse?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. They've not got a bad squad.
I think
and just given their home form as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think Peterhead will beat Clyde as well.
Up there, isn't
and
it?
Moving on to the next week, this is why I think the Barton might pull out of there, because Clyde are at home to East Fife, and the Barton have got Forfar at home. So the way the fixtures lie, Clyde obviously will play Forfar as well, but they go away to Forfar.
Yeah, they'll have to be home. Forfar are down and have kind of down tools, won't they?
Aye, more or less. So, but it'll be tight.
So you're back in Peterhead and you're back in East Fife. I'm going to back Peterhead as well on a draw in East Fife Dumbarton. So James, I know you spoke a wee bit about East Fife there. How do you see them getting on against Dumbarton?
I think East Fife will win. Just because I don't think... No, give me a draw on that one. I was thinking East Fife will win just because I think they're better than Dumbarton, but like we just sort of mentioned there, that even though they've only scored 9, they've only let in 18, so they're hardly shipping goals. So that little nugget of information's inspired me for maybe a lacklustre East Fife to come up against a resolute Dumbarton.
And Peterhead, Clyde?
I think Clyde are going to end 9th, so for me this is a Peterhead one. I do think Clyde will be 9th through some sort of last day jiggery pokery East Fife-esque not making the playoffs. I think they'll just drop in, because throughout the season Dumbarton, Clyde have been sort of changing positions. I think on the last day it'll be Clyde are in, Dumbarton are safe. So for me, I think that starts with them getting a defeat against Peterhead.
There we go. So there we have it. So that rounds up our thoughts on League One. Like I say, games coming thick, fast, constant. So let us know your thoughts and feedback on our predictions there. YouTube comments or Twitter at Turnstiles There. We'll be back next week, and just, like I say, keep an eye on our Twitter as we continue to try and assess the madness and look ahead to games and kind of summarise what we think is happening. Muzz, are you at a game anytime soon?
I have a Saturday off, given that the fixtures could not be confirmed until after full time on Tuesday night. I do not have an assignment on Saturday.
Your tyres will be loving it.
Back in the road midweek, tyres get a breather.
Decent. So thanks very much for watching. As always, like I say, any comments, let us know. New content every week. Be sure to check out Championship and, like Muzz said at the start, the final instalment of the saga that is the Shinny Brothers and Billy McKay's drinking haunts as we travel through the journey throughout the week. Thanks very much for watching, and we'll see you again soon. Cheers.
Cool.
Cheers.